Today on Real Radio.
Prodigal living. Get a load of this. This is amazing. The word prodigal is the root word to the English word that we have to be prodigious. It means this: great amount, great size, great volume. The word means lavish, abundant, generous, extravagant. Now let's read it again. He went and wasted his life on extravagant, abundant, generous, lavish living. He tried to find heaven, did he not?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 15 of the book of Luke is known for parables uttered by the Messiah: the parable of the lost sheep, the piece of silver, and the famous prodigal son. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a series called Christian, Come Home.
We can be in church, we can look tremendous, we can look so religious, and be right in the presence of sin, right in the midst of God extending mercy, and our hearts be far from God. And Jesus is warning us. The Bible tells us, in fact, this is amazing to me. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. You know the story. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, what do you think about when you hear the Garden of Eden? Like, I want to go. I want to see it. What did it look like? Have you ever seen the best looking garden in the whole world? Can you imagine the Garden of Eden? I want to go. Awesome. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They had sinned and they were hiding from God in the garden. God in his mercy, he knows everything. God knows everything. What does he do? The Bible says that he comes through the garden in the cool of the day and he says, Adam, what does he say next? I want to hear it. Where are you? Come on, come on. Did not God know where he was? Adam, I'm really old. I'm hard of seeing. Are you kidding? Why, God, did you ask Adam, where is he? Because if Adam would have said, Eve, get out of the bushes. Come on. We're right here. We're absolutely naked. We sinned against you, and we want you to forgive us. Do you know what I believe would have happened? I believe that you and I would have been living in the garden today. Is that not the nature of our God, to forgive if asked? Yes. If Adam would have said, Eve, get out. We're right here. We blew it. We disobeyed you. Little kids do that. Have you seen little kids do that? Who broke this vase? I didn't mean to. Okay? They would have been forgiven. But what did they do? They hide now. Shh, Eve, shh. Can you imagine? By the way, the word in the Hebrew doesn't mean, you know, they sowed leaves on themselves. A leaf here and there. The word in the Hebrew suggests they were covered in leaves. Like, here, get this molasses on your body and roll around in the grass, Eve, and stand there like a bush. You see these eyes blinking? It was ridiculous. In the garden, and here's mercy. Adam, I don't like the way you look. That's not the way I made you. He could have, right? He could have just fried Adam and Eve right there. Like a bug light. Zep. He could have, but he extended mercy. And that mercy has been going on for thousands of years until redemption is over and the day of God begins for all mankind. Amazing to me. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22 that it's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his great passion fails not. We learn this from verse 13 also, that his mercy is extended even though you and I have wandered far from God. It says here in verse 13 that the boy journeyed far into a far, far distant country. There's something cool. Let's be honest. There's something cool about being in a far distant country. I've been in many, many, many far distant countries. There's something cool about it. And first of all, it's like, what a weird language. Listen to that. What a weird language. Smells. What is that smell? Food. Different foods. Culture. Completely different. Something cool about it. But you know what? This boy, also, you can find out in a far distant country. Nobody knows you. You don't know anybody else. How do you handle that opportunity? Hey, man, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Oh, yeah? What happens when you're far from home? There's nobody there to hold you. There's no mom and dad there to say, get into bed. It's 10 o'clock. What are you doing still? Turn off your light. Get to bed. That kid said, I want to get out of here. Give me the money that's due to me. Let's pretend you're dead. I'm out of here. And he leaves the far country. Imagine the skip in his step. I'm on my own. I can do what I want when I want to do it. He's all excited. He's like Pinocchio heading off. And all the disaster that's looming. Because you know what? He wants to be an adult. He wants to play adult things and do adult stuff, which adults can't handle either. But he's just a young boy. He's just a young man. He doesn't have it. And he's far from God in a far country. Nobody knows him. People will laugh at his jokes because it's all brand new. Everything's exotic. It's very tremendous. The draw of the city lights. Heading off to college. Mom and dad are 2,000 miles from home. Think about it. Thomas Huxley said, a man's day of trouble begins when he discovers that he can do whatever he wants. Think of that. Is that not true? Did you guys hear me? Are you sleeping? A man's day of trouble begins when he discovers that he can do whatever he wants. That's when you get into trouble. He goes into a far country. I love Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10 says, where can I go from your spirit, David wrote. And David ought to know. David sinned enough to find out. Everywhere I go, you're there. Can you imagine when he was winking at Bathsheba? God was saying, what are you doing? Man, look at her. No, don't look at her. Think about it. Hey, he asked for his commander's input. What's her name? Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit was saying, you don't need to know her name. Then he sins, horrible life. He winds up killing her husband, winds up impregnating her, adultery, the whole mess. David then says, Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? Question, who would want to? Or where can I flee? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Even there, your hand will lead me. I love that. I don't want to listen to Jonah. I don't want to listen to you, God. Get in a boat. Let's go. And he goes in the boat, and God's there. Jonah's thinking, we are so far from home. This is cool. I got away from God. Hello, Jonah. Imagine. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, my boy is far from home. He's not walking with God, and then he's heading off to college. It's going to be worse. And listen, mom, dad, have you ever heard of air support? You know, when you launch a military campaign, you don't send your troops in first. You bomb the snot out of the ground and prepare it for your troops. Air support. Mom and dad, get on your knees. Start praying for your kids. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver this Sidewinder missile prayer. Lord, I'm asking you to deliver this atom bomb prayer. You pray, seriously. Lord, you keep my son a virgin. If he sees a girl and starts going crazy, just cause him to throw up wherever he's at. You pray, they're called, in biblical, David prayed prayers like that. They're called imprecatory prayers. Lord, if some evil is coming to my son, break that evil in half. Hey, mom and dad, I don't know if you fought for the soul of your kids up until now, but you better leave this sanctuary today fighting for your kids. I don't care if your kid is 50 years old. Amen. Fight for your kid. He's still your kid. No matter how goofball he turned out to be, he's still your kid. And you pray for his soul, because you know what? His soul's in the balance. Jesus is telling us the soul of this kid's in the balance. He's far from home. Also this, mercy has been extended to us, even if you and I have made stupid decisions. I couldn't find a word stupid that was nice on Sunday morning. Now, people are going to say, my kid, I don't let my kids say that word. I know that, and I really struggle with putting that word on the screen. I just couldn't find a word any better than that. We've all made just dumb decisions. Why did we do that? Look at verse 13 there. He wasted his possessions. Squandered. Wasted. But the word is amazing. I'll give you the meaning of it in a moment. I don't want you to hear it just yet. He wasted his possessions. How did that happen? In his mind, this is the plague of a young mind, he forgot. Have you ever talked to your kids? Why did you do that? I forgot. Didn't I tell you that you needed to turn this on at a certain time or else the thing would burn up? Yeah. Why did you do that? I forgot. Psalm 106, 13. Israel forgot God's works. They did not wait upon his counsel, but instead they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent leanness, thinness, shallowness, apathy into their souls. Wow. Give me what? Hey, Dad, let's pretend you're dad. Give me all the money. You think that's the answer to you finding utopia? It comes with a great price. Stupid decisions. Every one of us had made stupid decisions. The key is to arrest that stupid thought in your head before it becomes a decision. We can't go to this part yet of Luke 15, but his brother's going to tell us later, verse 30, that he wasted all his bucks on harlots. Wasted his life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5, very, very wonderful verse. Verses 5 through 9 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what you give your kids. This is what you give yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's how you keep. See, Pastor, give me some application. How do I keep from making stupid decisions? This is all you need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't counsel with yourself. In all your ways acknowledge him. Pray. And he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know how kids are wise in their own eyes? You don't know nothing, Dad. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase. In other words, tithe to God what's his, and everything you own belongs to him. Keep that perspective in your mind, and you'll do well. By the way, you know, this is another thing that's not in my notes, but a lot of people, this ridiculous demonic doctrine about prosperity. You need to, you know, take out a $100 bill. $100 bill. Tear off one little portion, and you keep that little portion, and then ship or mail the big piece to us here at 1-800 or whatever the number is. You mail it in, though, and have faith. That is demonic. That's insane. If that lunatic on TV had faith, he would say, tear off that little corner of that $100 bill. Mail it to me, and I'll show you that I have faith in God. No, he takes the part that you can deposit in the bank and leaves you with nothing. And people go, oh, yeah, oh, mail it in. Quick, honey, get the checkbook, mail it in. Come on. But there is a prosperity to be had. God could choose it to be money. He could choose it to be health. When you follow him and make the right decisions. I know many wonderful men and women of God who are super blessed in life. And I don't mean just money. Maybe they don't have money, but they've got great health, or they got great relationship with their kids. It doesn't have to be that stuff. But when you honor God with your possessions, he'll bless you. And let him define what blessing is. Yeah, if I tithe, will I get $1,000 next week? How dare you? Let God define what blessing is. Terrible decisions made. Third and final point, it's this. Christian, come home, because conviction, let's be honest, has been upon you. Verse 13 says, he went to that far country, and look, he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The word prodigal, get a load of this. Conviction has been upon you. Watch this, prodigal. Prodigal living. Because you and I have been doing the wrong thing if we're far from God. We've been doing the wrong thing. Don't blame anybody. You guys, you and I will never get right with God if we're blaming others about our situation. You say, Pastor, you don't know my story. I don't want to know your story. I can't do anything with your story. And you can't either. Take your story to God. Don't call your friends anymore. Church, are you listening to me? Don't call your friends anymore and tell them about your big problem, that why you can't forgive, why you can't. Stop it. You've spent more time talking to your friends than you have on your knees with God about it. Go to God about it. Call him up. Jeremiah 33:3, that's his phone number. It's Jeremiah 33:3. He says right there, call me and I will listen to you. What kind of a deal is that? That's a great phone service. Better than my service I got. Call me. He says, call me and I'll listen to you. Tell him. And then leave it with him. See, when Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you enjoy being the Lord of your life. And only way you can be the Lord of your life is if you have this messed up little ball of yarn with boogers and glue and gum and fur in it. And it's like, this is mine. And it's all ugly and stinky and weird. And you like the control. You like to have it. It gives you something to do. Listen, give it to him and find out what it's like to come home to him and live a life that is amazingly honoring to him and for you, pure excitement and joy. It is absolutely true. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I used to have a little ball of yarn with boogers and glue and fur in it. And this was my thing. And I'm thinking, if I sit on it long enough, I'll hatch something out of it good. Nothing good comes out of it. Listen, we've done the wrong thing. Conviction comes upon us. Prodigal living. Get a load of this. This is amazing. The word prodigal is the root word to the English word that we have to be prodigious. It means this: great amount, great size, great volume. The word means lavish, abundant, generous, extravagant. Now let's read it again. He went and wasted his life on extravagant, abundant, generous, lavish living. He tried to find heaven, did he not? See, that's stretching it. No, I'm not. Because guess what? Another term in theology for this parable. In theological terms, this parable has often been referred to as the prodigal God. And you say, what? Based upon the pure meaning of the word, everything that this boy went out after to try to get for his own life, he fails because the world can't give it. Girls, guys, money, power can't give it. The prodigal God, take the meaning of the word, to lavish, to be amazingly, abundantly extravagant God, is for him to take what you're looking for and to provide it by and with his amazing, generous, lavish love and his livelihood. The Father gave everything for the boy. The Father in heaven gave everything for us. He has given us overwhelming things. And what are we to do but to come home? We've lived wrong, and he says, come on back. Secondly, it's this: because you and I have been going to the wrong places like this boy did. To the wrong places. Listen, wherever we go as Christians, if you're walking with God or not and you're a Christian, the place that you and I go, we will either leave an impression on it, and we will, and it will certainly leave an impression upon us to either pray for it or to tamper with it. The wrong places. Stay away from the wrong places. You have to make a decision to do that. I am not going to do this anymore, because every time I do, listen, are you having a hard time with stuff on your computer? I told a lady this in this church years ago, and it bears repeating. She says, my husband is on internet pornography and I don't know what to do. It's ruining our marriage. And I said, listen to this. I said, I'll tell you what to do. Are you going home today? Yeah. Okay, I want you to go home today. I want you to unplug the computer. I want you to walk out in the middle of the driveway, and I want you to throw it straight down on the ground as hard as you can. And she went, I can't do that. And I go, why? How much? She goes, that computer costs $1,500. And I said, then lose your marriage. I said, an attorney will be a lot. Your first 5 minutes with the attorney will be $1,500. I said, I'm done talking to you. I just told you what to do. Next. Guess what happened? She almost lost her marriage until the computer was thrown in the middle of the driveway. Marriage? Dell computer. Marriage? Apple computer. What do I do? Are you crazy? Think about it. Get it out. If he can't handle it, throw him out. I mean, throw it out. And no, I didn't. That was a true slip. I didn't mean to say that. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not go after them. That's another one to weld onto your little son or daughter's lunchbox to college. If sinners entice you, don't go after them. Very, very important. We'll end with this. Final thing, verse 13. We've learned this from verse 13. Conviction will not leave you and I because you've been living the wrong life. God will not give up on you. He will not stop. The truth is, God, who made you, has a better life for you to live. And you need to believe that. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye is not seen. This is amazing. There's no human eyeball in the history of mankind, including Adam and Eve, from this verse. Eye is not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, the boy said, I want it now, and I want it my way. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. This boy is going to later fill himself with pig food because he's far from God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amazing thing. Okay, this is it. We end right here. I'm going to give you this thought to hold. With each of the three parables that we've looked at so far, the lamb that was lost, the coin that was lost, and this boy that we're learning about, this young man who is lost, there's a common line drawn regarding these parables. Number one, that sin takes us away from God, obviously, right? Number two, we are temporarily excited and stimulated by the sin and what it feels like. The Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season. Seasons come and go. Number two, when the results of sin have conceived, they affect our lives. That's a fact. You're not going to get around it. Number four, the commencement of pain and suffering begins in our lives as sin has run its course. Number five, a decision must be made to stay or to go back home. And if you look at these things right here, you can march through how you wound up messing up your life. If you march through these things, you can see the pathology of how you got to where you're at today. I know it's mathematically possible. I'm not speaking to anyone in this church today. But you might know somebody where this message applies. Or you might want to hang on to it because you know what? I don't have to run far from home to be far from God. My heart can be far from God. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking closely at this, and it's really coming down in many ways to not only personal and private life with God, but a lot of it has to do with our family life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Christian, Come Home, based on the parable of the prodigal son as found in Luke chapter 15. It's all part of our verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, get in touch and let us know. One of the quickest and easiest ways is to visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.